Hello and welcome to another episode of Sons of Ignatius. My name is Father Niall Leahy, and normally I would be joined by my good friend Father David Lugo, but Dave and I both got overwhelmed recently with a lot of work and life stuff, and we had to take a little break. So we're back again. Apologies for the absence of episodes over the last number of weeks, and thank you for positive feedback, which has still come through. But here we are with another episode, and I am delighted to be joined by four very special people. In fact, four missionaries. I am joined today by Jamie and Christina and Francis and Genevieve, and they are members of the NET team, which are here at Gardiner Street Parish, the parish where I live and work. And I thought, okay, you know, the basic impulse of this podcast is mission. It's helping people to be formed as missionary disciples, which is what Christ calls us to. So I thought, well, instead of just being me and Dave kind of chatting about mission all the time, how about we get some other missionaries on? And these guys are full of missionary spirit. So I thought, let's get them on, let's get them talking, let's get their take on things and their take on mission. So just to begin with, we could introduce ourselves. So hi, Jamie.
Hello, Father.
Jamie.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Jamie. I'm 23. I'm from Mayo here in Ireland. I am Irish and I'm happy to be. I'm very excited to be here. This is my second year working with NET and I'm very excited to be serving in the city of Dublin.
Jamie, you're wearing headphones. Does that mean that you are a professional sound engineer?
Yes.
Apparently yes, it does. I've been told wearing headphones makes me a professional sound engineer. So we'll see how I do.
He's also, just for the listeners to know, he's also wearing his cap backwards, which is definitely adds to his kudos.
He's cool. All right.
And he's pulling it off as well. Like it works. Yeah. I don't think I could pull that off.
His mom showed us a picture in the hallway of him as a teenager. He had his long hair and his his cool gangster outfit.
So Jamie's cool and he's from Mayo. That's all you need to know. Okay, great. Thank you, Jamie.
I'm going to pass this mic on for anyone can embarrass me more.
Christina, top that. Who are you?
I'm not sure if I can top Jamie over here, but my name is Christina. I'm 26 years old, and I am from Boston, Massachusetts, in America.
That's basically Ireland, isn't it?
It's where all the Irish immigrants went, and they spread. So pretty much everyone in my neck of the woods has a great grandma who.
But seriously,
Irish.
Like Boston is like the next parish over from Mayo. You guys are neighbors.
Yeah, basically, more or less, yeah.
And this is your first year of NET, Christina, is that correct?
It's my first year on NET, and it's my first year living long-term in a foreign country. So I'm really excited to be here in Ireland and serve the people of this beautiful country.
Thank you, Christina. I'm really glad you're here with us. And next is Francis. Francis, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Francis. I'm 20 years old. This is also my first year serving with NET. I'm originally from Dublin, and you asked for a fun fact, and I was trying to think about what to say that would be not scandalous, but also still interesting. And what I came up with is that, much to my mother's horror, I have learned how to ride rip currents, to use them when you're surfing.
Wow. So, yeah, Francis is pretty badass. one question, Francis. How many sit-ups did you do last night?
162.
That is impressive. That's 162 more than I did.
They did more.
Yeah, our supervisor Joshua is here at the moment, and we were going against each other, and he got furious at me because how many did he do?
I think just about 100.
Yeah,
a mere 100 sit-ups.
Oh, so his anger was highly gratifying.
Listen,
to me.
Joshua isn't here to defend himself, so
we'll
get him on some other time. He's going to be on the Twitter. Responding.
I would like to point out Francis's bicep is bigger than my thigh. Just for everyone who's listening, just for them to know that.
Okay, Genevieve, follow that.
Well, I actually could not participate in the various exercises that they did last night, including push-ups, planks, and so on.
One of
the priests walked in while we were doing all the push-ups, and he just looked at us and said, keep going. What is the dog's name? Juno. He was taking his dog for a walk and he said, keep going, Juno, keep going. These crazy people.
Yeah. This must be the most athletically impressive mission team in Ireland at the moment.
It's just great because he walks in at the most odd of times and just doesn't ask questions. Yeah, we do.
Like all of these things, you really need context. All, like he came in, like the day before, a bunch of us were just lying on the floor. Because we were like, that's how the young Trinity people relax, you know?
Right.
But it was actually this morning.
But that was this morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a new experience for the priests here on Gardner Street to have four 20-somethings in there, or six 20-somethings in their house.
He took it very well.
Very gracious, very gracious. Okay, Genevieve.
Anyways, yeah.
Please, a little bit about yourself.
I'm Genevieve. I am from the States. I'm from Augusta, Georgia. If any of you have ever heard of the Masters Tournament, I've spoken with a few people here in Ireland too, have. A priest told me the other day that four things happen in the world. This will be my fun fact. Oh, you know this, Father Nedlund.
I know what priest told you this.
I'm going to try to remember. The first one, remind me of the first one.
A priest is celebrating mass.
Oh yeah, a priest is celebrating mass. The second one, a golf ball is flying in the air.
Yep.
A third one, a girl is saying, I wonder if he loves me. And the fourth one is, don't tell me, someone is looking at a Van Gogh painting.
Correct. Yeah.
I was telling him about the Van Gogh exhibits because we have those in Augusta, Georgia. Very beautiful. But I'm currently out at school in Escondido, California, which means Hidden Valley, and it's in Southern California. So I came here during my time at JP2, John Paul the Great Catholic University.
Nice. So, okay, so listeners, you're getting a little flavor of the energy and vibe that has just arrived in Gardner Street and taken it by storm. And as with all good things, as we will learn, they have to spread. And these guys, their enthusiasm and joy and energy is spreading. It is contagious. Just to say a little bit about today's episode, we are drawing our inspiration from Pope Francis' exhortation called The Joy of the Gospel, or in Latin, Evangelii Gaudium. And basically, this is, you could say, Pope Francis' manifesto for his papacy, for the church, while he is the universal pastor. And he really wants the church to embrace what he calls a missionary option. So to be a more mission-oriented church, an outward-facing church, rather than a church which is more concerned with itself, but more concerned with others and with spreading the good news. So I've just taken four headings from the opening chapter of Evangelii Gaudium, and we're going to, let's say, draw on those four headings, four things for our conversation today. The four are encounter with Christ, which leads to joy and the experience of joy, and then that goodness spreads, all good things spread, and finally, that the church then has a missionary option. We've spoken here before in this podcast about how the Christian life begins with encounter with Christ. So I'm just going to turn to you now, Jamie, and say, would you mind sharing a little bit about how encounter with Christ has happened in your life?
As I said earlier, this is my second year serving with NET. And I just wanted to share one of the encounters that brought me to the organization in itself. So yeah, how that began is, it would have begun several months before I actually had the actual encounter, which was meeting a NET team in my hometown of Castlebar, Mayo. Best town in Ireland. Can't beat it. And yes, I can say this
just
because...
beside Boston.
We are right over from Boston. Just, I think it's only a very small gap of 40 million miles. But yes, I had the good fortune to encounter a NET team. Members of it I'm still very good friends with to this day. And yeah, they really just showed me who Christ was and just, yeah, what I was kind of missing from my life. Because up until that point, I could tell that there was something missing, but I couldn't tell exactly what it was. And I really struggled to see how I could change my life and become a better person without something drastic happening. So it was meeting these young people that I realized that, okay, Jesus is this drastic thing. So knowing that for the next couple of months, I still kind of battled with that and couldn't really understand, okay, how can I actually have an encounter with this guy who literally died 2,000 years ago?
That's a good point.
Was resurrected again, but then he also ascended. So we still, yeah.
Yeah. Hasn't been seen since.
No.
Yeah,
but he will be.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, not in the same way. Yeah.
But yeah, so I was actually in the car with my dad driving up to Cork. I studied down in Cork for college for 3 years, and it was during lockdown that I had to travel down to Cork after Christmas, get all my things and bring it all back up to Mayo so I could continue doing college online because the world shut down and it was kind of boring. So I was in the car with my dad and we were just driving along. I had headphones in. I was just listening to the song. Yes, just because I had headphones in then does not mean I'm a sound engineer.
Yes, it does.
It was a sign of things to come, clearly.
My vocation has been decided. Sound engineer. I just had headphones in and I was listening to a song that I didn't realize until basically that kind of that moment was a praise and worship song. It was called Start a Fire by a band called Unspoken. Amazing song. If you haven't listened to it, go ahead and listen to it. After this podcast, of course. Don't need to pause it. But and it was in that moment I felt this overwhelming feeling of peace. And I was just overwashed with feeling really loved. And I just have felt the presence of Jesus like right there next to me. It was like I was in the passenger seat, don't know how he was next to me, but he was next to me. And yeah, it was amazing. And it was like that exact moment that I said, hey, I have to join this mission right now, otherwise I'm never going to have the courage to do it again. Mm. It was a few days later, I applied, I was accepted, and I did my first year in 2021, 2022. Mm-hmm. I was up in Donegal for that in Letterkenny, Northern Donegal. And I loved pretty much every minute of it. I'm not going to say every second because there were some hard seconds, but every minute, I guess, I loved.
So just to go back over that again, Jamie, there was a certain attraction and you could say a desire for, but an uncertainty about how that would happen. And when it did happen, it kind of took you by surprise in a way. You weren't sitting there in the car thinking, okay, let's have an encounter with Christ.
Yeah.
And yet it happened through the words and the music of that song.
Yeah.
Pope Francis just come in there. In paragraph 3, he says, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly every day. I think that's part of the job of a missionary, is to allow people to know that, you know, this is possible. Mm. Having an encounter with Christ is possible, and that's what leads to openness. That's all we can do, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Because also he doesn't like force an encounter on us. Mm. You know, it takes a bit of openness, you know, like, and not even a whole lot. Like you could kind of think of it as light a lot of the time, I think. Like light beating against the wall, it quote unquote wants to get in, but unless there's a chink in the wall somewhere, it actually can't. Whereas all it takes is a tiny chink.
Yeah.
Light can slide right through a gap of any size, but
just a little open.
Just crack your heart a bit to the Lord.
Yeah, just crack it open a bit. Yeah,
the world turns our hearts to stone a lot of the time.
It's nice how you describe it, Jamie. That those net missionaries that you met, I think they sort of elicited or some kind of openness in you. They weren't the presence of Christ in its fullness, but they did arouse in you some kind of openness and desire.
Yeah, totally. It was definitely. Yeah, it was the first time I'd really felt that kind of personal encounter with Christ that I'd heard people speak about before. Mm. And it was almost just made better by how normal the moment was before it. Like I wasn't sitting in adoration. I wasn't doing praise and worship. It was just sitting in the car and just being able to find God in those tiny little moments where you wouldn't necessarily expect to find him. And then it's just also like being at the point I am now, looking back and seeing how much God has been in my life every other moment, and I just wasn't able to see him.
Right. Yeah, so when you encounter God, you're not, in a sense, encountering somebody brand new. It's the God who's always been there.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I was just going to say that it's really admirable how Jamie, he did 1 year of NET, and then he came back to do his second year, and now he's our team leader of the group. And along with our team sister, Emmy. And it's so cool to see that like renewed fire that he did encounter Christ once and did a whole entire year and devoted so much of his time and his life. And then he fell so much in love with that fire and wanted other people to encounter God personally that he came back for a whole nother year. And I just think that that's like such an important reminder to Catholics who do go to Mass and who do all these things, but maybe they don't have that, they need a renewal of that fire in their heart. Mm-hmm. And then just seeing that God always draws us back in different ways to encounter him over and over again. It's just, it right. never ends, you know?
It's every day.
Every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jamie, you seem like, you know, a happy enough guy to me now. You're smiling and joking away there, and which leads us on to our second point of our conversation. Smooth segue there, Father Niall. So, which is joy. Joy. And Pope Francis quotes from the Bible various places in the Bible where joy is a constant and it's a recurring theme, and it's really strong in the Gospels. So when Mary, for example, when Mary visits Elizabeth, John, the baby John, leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And then in Mary's song of praise, she says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And then Jesus himself rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. That's Luke chapter 10. So joy is a recurring theme. And Francis, could I just ask you to say a little bit and reflect a little bit on how joy is present in your life?
Yeah. Well, since coming to NET, since beginning training, I've never been more sure that I am where the Lord wants me to be in something. The story of like how I got to NET and what made me apply and all of that, maybe it's a story for another day. But basically, I am where he wants me to be. Mm-hmm. And that's, there's a lot of wholeness in that. Mm-hmm. In that it doesn't, if you're doing what God wants you to be doing, like what he wants one to be doing is the best thing that that person can be doing. Mm-hmm. Like the plan that God has for my life and for everybody's lives. And I actually mean that, like, that's not a throwaway phrase. Like he has a plan for everybody's life. Mm-hmm. And if we're striving to obey that, or if we just somehow fall into obeying that, that's the best life that we can live. Mm-hmm. And like at Youth 2000, I don't know,
Youth 2000 is a youth movement, and
yeah, it's a Catholic youth movement based or centered around the Eucharist and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And what's the third pillar
of what
of Youth 2000?
Oh, Eucharist, Blessed Virgin Mary, and
good. Looking good, doing it.
Sure, let's just go with that. That's not it, but anyway,
the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit.
No. I can't remember some other really good thing. But anyway, they have these big festivals, and they've got a big one in the summer and a big one at Christmas, and then various other smaller ones throughout the year. But something, so I've been going to Youth 2000 retreats for many years. My mother helped bring it to Ireland actually, and the thing that I notice a lot in, so that a big part of it is they have an opportunity for people at the end of the retreat or the weekend of the festival to come up and give a bit of their testimony about what they experienced over the retreat. And something that I've noticed over the years a lot is that people who would come in for whatever reason, like their friend who they really like was going, so they just went with them, or their grandmother made them promise to go, you know, whatever it was. And they come and they're like, all of these people around me are actually not depressed. Like, and I don't know why. Like, I can't, you know, I'm not talking to all of them, I'm not meeting all of them, I don't know what it is that's actually making them not depressed. But the fact remains, they're not depressed, and I want what they have. And what the thing that those people have is, well, it's Jesus, in a word. Mm-hmm. And so that's that joy that comes from living life with Christ and for Christ is something that is attractive to the world at large, basically, because there's not a lot of joy out there. You know, that's a multifaceted question and problem, but the very kind of, you know, not simplistic, but simplified answer is the world doesn't really have Jesus anymore as a whole. And that's where a lot of that depressed nature of things comes from.
Right. So there's some, without Jesus in the world, without God in the world, somehow the joy is slowly leached out of our lives.
Yeah.
And we need to stay connected to the Lord in order to just like keep ourselves topped up with joy. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So the reason why Jesus gives us joy is that Jesus himself is joyful. Mm-hmm. Jesus, God, is full of joy, and he wants to share that joy with us. Whatever your image of God is, you might think God is, you know, I don't know, relaxed or like powerful or vindictive. Angry or vindictive or chilled out, whatever it is. I think it's a really one to really important to say, to know that Jesus, God, like Father, Son, Holy Spirit are joyful. They are full of joy.
And want joy for us.
Like, yeah.
Actively.
I want to share
wanted.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of that, just to tie back in, the third pillar is sacred scripture.
Yes.
And
I knew it was a good thing.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool because that's the one of the best ways to get to know our Lord is through his word.
Francis, could I just ask you a follow-on question there?
Yeah.
You experience joy. Does that mean you're happy every day?
Oh, happy is an emotion. And emotions come and go, like happiness comes and goes, sadness comes and goes,
right.
Like motivation comes and goes.
Right. So you're not always in tip-top form.
No, that's not joy. You
so
know?
Like, so what level is joy at then?
It's a lot deeper. It's like
it's,
I used the word wholeness earlier. Mm-hmm. It's something that's closer to like wholeness of soul, like a sort of a fulfillment, basically. Mm. And that, like that whole that people talk off a lot in their, you know, their heart, their mind, their soul, whatever. Like, people find it very hard to articulate where the hole is.
Yeah.
But they try to fill it with everything that people usually try to fill that hole with. It's as though that hole is filled.
Nice.
Like a weightiness, like a substantialness.
Yeah.
Substantiality, whatever.
Lovely. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But it comes from Jesus and knowing Jesus and knowing that he wants good for me and, like, experiencing his goodness.
Yeah, it's important to say that having an encounter with Christ and experiencing the joy of Christ does not mean that every day is an amazing day and that, you know, you are immune from the highs and lows of life. But it does mean that whatever it is that life brings your way, that somehow you're up for it and you're going to be alive in it and through it. And you're going to live it and you're going to still live with hope and faith in your heart, and you won't be overcome because there's something bubbling up inside you which just won't stop. It's irrepressible. So as we witness here every day at Garden Street with these irrepressible netters. So just moving on to the third of our conversation then, which is that goodness spreads. So in paragraph 9, Pope Francis says, goodness always tends to spread. Every authentic experience of truth and goodness seeks by its very nature to grow within us. And any person who has experienced a profound liberation becomes more sensitive to the needs of others. As it expands, goodness takes root and develops. So we have the sense of when we're talking about mission, you have to make the link somehow or the jump from, okay, I've experienced a good thing to I want other people to experience a good thing. It's very normal in today's world for people to think of their faith or their religious belief as a private thing which is precious to them, which is genuinely important for them, but they wouldn't necessarily think or presume that they ought to give that to others or share it with others. That could seem like something of an incursion into other people's private sphere. But in the Catholic faith, in the gospel, we say, no, if it's good, it has to spread, because that's what good things do, they spread. So Christina, if I could just come to you on this point. You have a nice story ready for us about goodness that spreads. Would you mind sharing that with us, please?
Sure. Before I share the story, I'd like to read a little excerpt from the Goodness Spreads section of the Evangelii Gaudium. Mm-hmm. Life grows by being given away, and it weakens in isolation and comfort. Indeed, those who enjoy life most are those who leave security on the shore and become excited by the mission of communicating life to others. And when I read this passage, the thought that jumped into my mind was selflessness equals joy. The ability to sacrifice and give to other people spreads goodness. And the person in my life who exemplifies this more than anyone else that I know is my mom. So back in the States, my mom, she's a stay-at-home mom, and she takes care primarily of my youngest brother, Anthony, who has Down syndrome. He, you know, lives at home with us. He's not quite ready to work at a full or part-time job yet, so we are kind of helping him get there. But as I've observed her throughout my life, I've watched that her whole focus is on other people. everything she does, every second of the day, every thought she has when she wakes up in the morning, she thinks about, how can I serve my family? How can I serve my youngest son? How can I serve my husband? How can I serve my neighbors? And you might think that this world might say, oh, where she's giving so much of herself, she's probably depleted, she's probably exhausted, she's probably miserable. That's not the case at all. She's actually the most peaceful and joyful person that I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't just keep that to herself, because when you have that goodness, it will spread. Mm-hmm. And if you have a honest faith and a true faith, you can't help but spread it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, my mom has taken on many people in her life as sort of her spiritual children or mentees, even people that you wouldn't think she would. I remember when last summer we had some behavior therapists start coming over to the house to work with my youngest brother, Anthony. And my mom, she's gifted with knowledge from the Holy Spirit, and so she can always tell when someone's in trouble. And she waited a few weeks, and then about a month after they had been working with Anthony, she brought the therapist out into the garage after the session with him. And she said, I have a sense that you guys are really struggling, maybe with some health issues. Are you okay? And the female therapist actually burst out into tears crying, saying, oh, how did you know? I've been dealing with these awful autoimmune issues for months now. And this became a habit of, after the session, they would go into the garage and my mom would sort of just listen to them. So much so that the therapists have now called the garage at my house the garage of emotion, because every time they go in there, they're just going to spill and spew everything that's been stuffed down inside them out to my mom.
Wow.
But that's what her goodness does. She doesn't want to just keep it for herself or even for her own family. She wants to spread it to the people around her, the, you know, healthcare workers who come work with her son, her neighbors, her friends, her fellow churchgoers. And she just has a piece that is addicting that everyone seems to want a piece of.
Mm.
The word that comes to mind when you share so beautifully about your mother, Christina, is the word ecstasy, or ecstasis, which is basically the going out of oneself, the going out of oneself towards your neighbor and towards your God, that somehow people draw us out of ourselves, God draws us out of ourselves to union with the other. And that is what joy is. That's what ecstasy is. It's coming out of ourselves and moving into union, moving into loving union with others. And your mother is doing that every day at home with your younger brother, with the people she serves, with the people in her church, and with her God. And yeah, she sounds like a really joyful woman. Mm. and goodness is spreading through her.
Oh, absolutely. My family and I, we like to joke that, you know, if we're going to get into heaven, we're going to have to sneak in behind mom. Because she's definitely getting in. Us?
Yeah. I'm with her. Hang on.
Yeah, we'll have to pray for her, nice. Pray for her intercession. But yeah.
Thanks so much, Christina. That is beautiful. Any reactions, guys, to that?
I love how you said everyone wants a piece of her piece. I think that's so cool.
I was going to make a reference to that cool pun, but I decided not to really.
I think that was the Holy Spirit, because I didn't even think of it beforehand, and then it just came out. But it really is true. I've got, oh my goodness, I know some girls from way back in high school that I was sort of friends with, you know, casually. And some of their mothers, my mom got to know really well. And my mom is still good friends to them to this day. And all they do is get on the phone, and that person will be like, oh, Carrie. My mom's name is Carrie. Very Irish name. Mm-hmm. She says, oh, Carrie, this is my daughter. She's been really suffering, and she can't find a boyfriend, and then she's been struggling in school, and da, da, da. And my mom will just listen. And because these people have nowhere else to go, because like Francis said earlier, peace and joy are hard to find nowadays. Mm. It's almost like they can't help but tell her everything, because they just need that peace and joy that she provides. So
I think something that's really cool about that, and it kind of ties in with the ecstasy thing, is when people are so filled, your mom sounds wonderful, and when people are so filled with joy and peace, they almost, like, when they're listening to people, it's not even filtering through them, it's not affecting them, it's just going straight to the Holy Spirit, and it's like it brings you this joy, like, oh, these people, you know, at one point they may be going through all this now, but they're seeking, you know, and they're seeking help, they want things to change, they're seeking peace, they're seeking joy. So I think it's really cool, because people like your mother, they have that hope. they have this trust, immense trust in God, that they don't have to handle that, and that that Jesus will handle it. Mm. And that's so beautiful.
So, right, so the stories we've heard happening to individuals about how Christ has elicited joy and given them joy in their life are wonderful stories of individuals. And Pope Francis is saying that's not enough. We need the whole church to get on board with this. And this is the dynamic of joy, people going out of themselves, which ought to shape the entire church. Which brings us on to our fourth point.
Wow.
A missionary.
Got it.
That was a lot smoother.
Yeah, which is a missionary option for the church. So Pope Francis says in paragraph 27, I dream of a missionary option, that is, a missionary impulse capable of transforming everything, so that the church's customs, ways of doing things, times and schedules, language and structures can be suitably channeled for the evangelization of today's world rather than for her self-preservation. And he also quotes Pope John Paul II, who once said, all renewal in the church must have mission as its goal if it is not to fall prey to a kind of ecclesial introversion. So these popes are saying the life of the church needs to be kind of organized and structured according to mission so that it more easily facilitates mission and the giving of self in service and for the mission of evangelization. So Genevieve, we finally get to you. You have a few thoughts on sort of how the life of the church can be shaped by our mission.
Absolutely. I wanted to just say that when I first came here to Ireland, I came from John Paul the Great Catholic University, which is so cool because, you know, we were just talking about JP2, and that's the name of my university. And we came up with this program. The president and founder of our school, Dr. Derry Connolly, who's from Ireland, he's on the NET Ireland board, NET for the National Evangelization Team. And their goal is to just, Francis and I were talking about this earlier, my team brother, that the church isn't changing in nature, but they're changing in their expression of the church's nature. So just that missionary spirit. And that's the goal of NET, to just spread the good news. And the way they go about it is just so beautiful, so humble. And everybody I have met is truly filled with joy, so much that it really changed the way I viewed missions, you know, even in a totally foreign country from my own. So when I first came here, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please transform my life. I asked him every day. And I think it's so cool and so funny because he transformed my life, sure, but he transformed me. Mm. And I transformed my life.
So having programs like NET and having organizations like NET is the renewal of the church. It is more in tune with its nature, yeah, which is to be missionary.
It's the new expression.
It's the new expression.
Of the age-old, ever-changing.
Yeah, yeah.
Never-changing. Reality of the church.
Of the church, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So when we have organizations, mm-hmm, such, mm-hmm, as NET and, mm-hmm, Focus and Holy Family Mission and Christ in the City in the States, and hopefully will spread to other countries as well, and the Faber community, right, and the Family Missions Company in Louisiana in the States, which is also all in different countries such as Ecuador and wherever else.
I'm going to give a shout out here to Mallory Champa, who is an old friend of mine. It turns out we both know her, but Mallory and I met on a silent retreat in Dublin. We were doing the spiritual exercises and somehow we connected over the silence, and we've stayed in touch ever since. It was remarkable.
That's
so
great.
Mallory's doing Family Mission Company at the moment, and go Mal, and my prayers are with you. But sorry, that was an aside. Yeah, so more of these organizations and more of these programs to allow young people to go on mission, to give themselves to mission.
Small Catholic world. So yeah. I think that this kind of ties in with the ecstasy thing we were talking about. Mm. People long for ecstasy in different ways. They want to go out. They feel like they want to give something, but they need to give it in a selfless way in order to be truly joyful. And so many people go out, you know, to party. They fill themselves with things that in the end empty them, you know.
They try to fill themselves.
Yeah, they try to fill themselves with drinking or drugs or just all the other ways we know of that don't fully satisfy ever, and that ultimately lead us further away from where we're trying to be. Yeah. And that ecstasy, we're longing for that. And that's why so many people are going to these things, because they're looking for that fulfillment. But the true fulfillment is in, as Christina was saying earlier, is in the ecstasy of joy, of true peace in the Lord, mm. and following His will and
self-giving.
And what Francis was saying, being where He wants us to be.
Christina, you mentioned a program in Denver, was it?
Oh, yes. So back in the States, there is this program called Christ in the City in Denver, mm. where young adults can volunteer a year of their lives in mission to serve men and women experiencing homelessness in the city. And I think they're trying to start a branch here in Ireland as well. Waterford?
Right. Waterford. That's in Ireland.
Yeah. I think, sweet. Yeah. Yeah. I think they might be trying to start up a branch in Waterford as well.
As you're speaking, it reminds me of another sort of transformative program that's happening called Divine Renovation, which started in Halifax in Canada. And it was basically the parish priest or the pastor of the church over there saying, okay, I need to transform like the way we do parish to be organized around mission, not maintenance. Mm. So it's not just about keeping the rank and file happy and keeping, you know, the regulars happy, but it's about organizing the life of the parish so that the regulars start going out to invite other people in. And that kind of dynamic takes hold. So yeah, Divine Renovation is just, I think it's the missionary option in action. And it's saying it's business as usual is not an option anymore. We either need to be, we're going to be missionary or we're not going to exist, which is mm-hmm. the truth. We just got to keep spreading. So yeah, it's really great to hear about all these programs and initiatives that are taking place. When you see the missionary option that Pope Francis is calling for, that's happening. Like this document is being put into action, which is what it's all about. It's no good for popes to write these documents and for them just to stay on the shelf and gather dust. Like we, the people of God, have to put them into action, and it's happening.
Just on that, on the thing you were saying about like making it the norm for the people in the pew to go out and bring more people back into the pew. It's mm. a misconception that the priest is like the guy who does the God stuff for all of the people sitting in the pew. Mm-hmm. And the people in the pew go out and they live their lives and they come back next Sunday and it's the priest who does the God stuff. Like, to be Catholic, this is actually a big part of what brought me to do Night Father, but it was not so much a realization as a deluge of particularly church documents that I wasn't even trying to read, but this, like, snippets from them would keep just showing up in the most random of places in my daily life. But the gist was, to say you're a Catholic is to say you're an evangelist. Like, it's a big deal to say mm-hmm. that you're a Catholic. Like, you're claiming a big thing if you say you're a Catholic. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what Catholic means. Like, it means universal. Like, you're claiming to be someone who wants to actually bring people in. Like, at risk of repeating myself, to be Catholic means to be an evangelist.
So, Francis, what you're saying brings me back to Jesus' way of being a missionary. Jesus was himself a missionary. He was sent by the Father. But he was a missionary that didn't want to do it all himself. Jesus, I suppose, could have come for like all time and like just individually ministered to everyone and given everyone joy and peace and forgiveness and everything. But he didn't. He said, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to get the ball rolling and then I'm going to enroll everyone in this mission. That's part of the joy. So you're absolutely right, Francis. Like, being a Catholic means being on mission in some way. That's different for everyone, what the particulars of that mission is. But that's what Jesus came to do. He was sent on mission, and his mission was to send us on mission. So it keeps on going and rolling over. And that's what it means to be a Christian and to be a Catholic.
And to go off of that, Jesus, when he called each one of us to follow him, when he said to his disciples, follow me, it was in such a personal way. He chose each person to go out and share the good news. And that was one of the things he made so clear, be fishers of men. Mm-hmm. And he's true on his promises. I mean, he follows through with every single one of them. And the coolest thing about being called to mission, as we all are as Catholics, like Francis was saying, it's universal. We are always filled by the Holy Spirit, more than we could ever imagine. So we never run out of things to give because we are just constantly being given to.
Before we finish, I used the wrong word. It's not universal, it was apostolic. The apostolic. Church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic.
I have a feeling this conversation could go on and on, and maybe it will. It would be really nice to maybe do another episode or two Absolutely. With you guys, because it feels like there are things to say here in the group. But I'm afraid we have to leave it there for today. Thank you for being so generous with your sharing and your testimony. And as always, I'd like to encourage our listeners to get in touch and to give feedback. You can do so on Twitter at Sons of Ignatius, if you look for us on Twitter. And we also have an email, hello@sonsofignatius.com. It would be great to hear from you. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye, and God bless.